important interview with someone that needs no introduction. It is CZ, the CEO of Binance. Full name is Cang Pongzhao, but everyone just calls him CZ anyways. He's been at the forefront of the cryptocurrency exchanges, and recently they've been noticing a lot of different changes to the cryptocurrency climate and to what's going to happen with decentralized finance. So in this podcast episode, we pick CZ's brain up to kind of figure out what's happening, what are the trends, and figure out what's happening on Binance as well, and ask them some important questions and community-based questions too. Hope you guys loved the interview. This interview was featured both on the Box Mining video channel as a live stream video, and also I've cut it here for the podcast as well. I hope you guys enjoy it. So CZ, welcome to the channel.
Yeah, Michael, thanks for having me. It's been a while. Good to see you again.
Great to see you.
Yeah, I mean, Stu, what's happening? I think a lot is happening in Binance and also in the industry now. So we see Bitcoin coming back to 12K, testing the resistance a few times. Binance has been doing a lot. The team has grown to about 1,500 people. So that's a large team for us. It feels like a very large team. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And there's a lot of stuff going on that I don't even know about. The team is very fairly autonomous, and they just do stuff. Yeah, Michael, we added 16 derivatives contracts in July alone. So this is and we have 43 futures contracts in total, and eight leverage tokens. So that's so we're growing on the futures side very quickly, and the futures trading volume has grown from $80 billion to $109 billion in July. So that's like a 25% growth in 1 month. And we also hit our all-time high for like 13 billion trading volume in July. So all of those things are pretty big. There's a lot of stuff going on. We are shipping out the Binance card, which allows people to spend their crypto on Binance directly. So that's already live with selected users in Europe. We launched Binance Australia. Now people in Australia can deposit to Binance using a bank account directly. So there's a lot of other stuff going on, but I will not bore everyone with it.
That's not a lot. So Binance cards, Binance futures, massive growth there. And so you talked a little bit about volumes right now. So do you see a spike in increase in trading volumes, both on futures and on a Binance exchange as well?
Yes. So I think now we're not seeing a spike, but we're seeing steady growth. So typically the spike volumes are on the like sharp drops. So typically the market grows slowly and then a sharp drop. When during the sharp drop, those will be mass volumes. But when it grows, it typically grows a little bit slower, but we are seeing we're seeing way more volume than before.
Got it.
So trading volume wise, we hit the record again for 17 billion in one day in July. And I think the previous one was in January 2018. So we have surpassed that level already.
All right. So a question is, how about new signups? Is this coming from older users or is it coming from new people coming into the space?
To be honest, there's a little bit of both. When Bitcoin price moves very quickly, we do see some old accounts being reactivated. So the accounts that haven't traded for a long time, they will come back. But also at the same time, the new user registrations are quite high. So we are seeing the new user registrations picking up definitely over compared to the last 2 years. Things are definitely picking up very quickly.
Got it. So it's kind of combination of both. That's great to hear that, because obviously I'm looking for that organic growth, more people coming into the space and more people getting interested. Obviously, one of the biggest topics right now is decentralized finance. And, you know, I've seen you guys listing more and more coins. What's kind of your current view on DeFi overall?
I think DeFi is a really innovative space. So I think that's really good. Initially, when people talk about DeFi, people think about lending. You can lend your coins to something, but now you can lend the coins for to provide liquidity. And then when the liquidity is good, people trade more and trade more easily. So I think automatic market makers are real interesting invention. They're very simple in concept, but they actually work, or they work for specific pairs. I think that aspect of it will stay. So I think those are very good innovations. At the same time, I want to say most projects in the DeFi space will fail. It does not mean DeFi is not good. It's just that only a few will succeed. The few that succeed will succeed wildly. So, but when you're investing in the DeFi space, do be very careful. It's a new field. Majority of projects do fail in any new field. So I think that there are some risks involved, but I think the industry growth is going to be big. So I quite like, we are very supportive of DeFi, and we're doing a number of initiatives in this area.
Do you think also, like, I think that's a very good answer. Like, some will succeed very well, and then some will obviously fail. I think that's a very, very good answer. But at the same time, I feel like there's a lot of, say, like these governance tokens, a lot of very fast value creation. Do you think we're going too fast, too furious here?
I will have to agree. I think, look, market always overreact. And I think the automatic market makers lending out coins to provide liquidity and getting a cut of the transaction fees, et cetera, those things make sense. Having a token in there as additional incentive is okay. But when there's competition, everyone wants to give higher reward. So now they want to give 10%, 20%, 50%, 200% annualized returns. Those things don't last. So so we're kind of back into a little bit of the transaction mining kind of there's a lot of properties similar to that. Mm-hmm. So I would advise people be very careful with those kind of things. So the external rewards by issuing a new token depends very heavily on the token price, etc. And when there's a large number of new tokens flooding into the market, the price will necessarily drop. So mm-hmm. those things generally don't last that long. It's good when it's last, but do know the risks.
Exactly.
But I do think that lending, getting an interest for providing liquidity and getting a cut of the commission fees, those models work. And those models typically, I think, will last. And we're actually thinking about, we'll copy probably some of those models.
All right. So you're talking about these models that work. And obviously, we saw some decentralized exchanges popping up. Do you see decentralized exchanges challenging that centralized finance space?
I think for us, it doesn't challenge it. The industry is so small. The more platforms we can get working, the more users we can drag into the space or like invite into the space, the better. DeFi and CeFi users are fundamentally quite different for today. So if you look at the DeFi, the volume's increasing. Their assets staked are increasing, but the number of users are still low. It's because basically, fundamentally, for a user to use DeFi, they still have to be able to hold their own private key secure. And the majority of people can't do that today. So I think DeFi is a very interesting innovation, and it works by revitalizing a lot of the sort of technically capable OGs, early adopters, to be more active and providing more liquidity. I think that's good. Will it take away some business from centralized exchanges? Right now, most of the trading are really done on smaller coins that we wouldn't list. It's too early stage for us to list anyway, and also stable coins. And stablecoin trading volume wasn't big on CeFi before. So stablecoin trading volume on DeFi is big, but that didn't take away our market share. So, I'm very supportive for DeFi. DeFi is just so much, running a DEX is so much better. Well, not running, like building a DEX is so much better than running a centralized exchange.
I saw you list Serum yesterday. What's your take on that?
Look, we're supportive of other players in the space. Mm-hmm. So many other players view Binance as competition. I think they do not have the infinite mindset. They have a very narrow mindset. But we adopt, if there are other exchange tokens, there are other decentralized exchanges, we support it. We want the industry to get bigger. We have what we call a infinite mindset, as described by Simon Sinek's book. So we support other exchanges. We support DeFi. We want the industry to be bigger. So yeah, we don't view anybody else as competition, but some people do view us as competition, but that's really their view. We can't really do anything about it.
I think that's very well said. We have a comment from Sam D. Jesus. CZ, DeFi is eating your lunch. And I think, you know, you responded very well saying it's not our lunch, it's we grow together. And I think that's really great. So I have a question about listing coins for DeFi. Recently, you've been listing a lot more coins. I saw Wi-Fi being listed. I saw Balancer being listed, all these new DeFi projects. What's your criteria now for listing new coins for Binance right now?
So our criteria is really always the same. It's number of users. So basically, if a coin has a large number of users and we list it, if users want it, we list it. If only a small number of users wants it, then it's kind of hard for us to list because it may be just a few whales that wants to dump their holdings.
right, that's very bluntly said.
it is the truth sometimes. I mean, it's not always the case, but there's always a different degrees of that being true or not. So it's not always black and white. But look, if a coin has a large number of users, then we list it. And some of the DeFi coins are very hot. They're very sought after. Look, if you have a coin that's popular and everyone's chasing it, the exchange has no choice but to list it. So it's not like we decide what to list. We follow our users.
So that's it, guys. So if you guys want a coin listed, just keep shouting at CZ. I think that's the way to do it. Just prove that there is real volume, and that's the way to do it. Awesome. So do you get people shouting at you every day to ask you about these listings as well? I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, every single tweet, people like comment, like list this, list that, but I'm pretty immune to it now. So I just tune that out.
So you have to show dedication. You have to show maybe pictures and memes, maybe you'll catch CZ's attention.
It's not that. It's really just like, instead of shilling to me or shouting to me, they should just be working on the community and getting more users into that community. And there's a number of different ways we look at the user base, like the community size, the Twitter following, number of addresses, et cetera. So if we feel that there's genuinely a high number of users, we list it. So shilling to me on Twitter doesn't do anything. I actually don't get involved in listing. I don't even know. I usually find out after we list a coin. So. Oh, wow. Most of the time the team just goes ahead and lists it. Sometimes they're polite enough to tell me beforehand. Most of the time I just find out on Twitter because we list so many coins now. I think last week we listed 5 or 6 coins, and in one day we listed 2 coins. So wow. I can't really get involved in that.
Nice. That's crazy. And I feel like that listing process has drastically improved over the past few months. I think just because of the activity, is that mostly because of new activity or demand?
Yeah, I think to be honest, so in the winter, in the crypto winter, it's harder to list coins. When you list, they don't really go up. There's not a lot of activity. Mm-hmm. Right now, there are more projects will be more active. The community is more active. The user base is more active. The trading volume is there. It's quite a bit easier to list coins now. So I think that we have ramped up speed on listing accordingly, pretty much based on the temperature of the market.
Got it. And it's hot. So, okay, next up, I have Binance Smart Chain. So a lot of people have been talking about developing on Binance Smart Chain. What do you think is like, what is the role of Binance Smart Chain? Just tell me a little bit about it first, and I guess I'll ask you some deeper questions.
Sure. When Binance Chain started, it's meant to be a single purpose, high performance DEX. So it's on-chain order matching. It's very fast. You can handle like 100,000 orders per second. And it's one second block confirmations. One confirmation is final. But because of that performance, we took out the smart contract capabilities. And that's the most requested feature from our community for Binance Chain. So now we're releasing a parallel chain using Binance Coin, BNB, is still the native coin on both chains. And the supply is limited. And on the Binance Smart Chain, the key feature is that you just support smart contracts. And it's Ethereum-compatible smart contracts. So it supports Solidity. It's a EVM-compatible, Ethereum Virtual Machine-compatible. So if you have a smart contract that runs on Ethereum, you will work on Binance Smart Chain. So all the DeFi contracts, all the other stuff, you can port them over directly. So again, it's meant to be a very easy way for people to deploy a smart contract on Binance Chain. There's no additional learning curve. And it's lower performance than the native Binance Chain, but it still should be higher performance than Ethereum, at least 1.0.
Right. So and can anyone develop for it? Is it open to anyone to develop, or do you need to have permission development?
It's fully open. And the Binance Smart Chain source code, we will open source fully. So all of that is a fully open platform. And there's also we're also designing a staking mechanism that will go in there for BNB. So oh, wow. Both of those things are happening.
Nice.
And so it should go out end of August, early September-ish, like the mainnet.
Oh, wow. Nice. I'm looking forward to it. I think that's one of the things I feel like, you know, we need a whole, I think Ethereum is clogging up, but at the same time, we need like more and more different alternatives. And it's interesting to see the whole dynamic fitting in. Just a question about your DEX as well. So in terms of in terms of usage and volume, do you see a potential increase for more usage for the DEX, or do you think central, like the Binance.com side will be a bigger kind of push for you guys in the near future?
So I think we go by user numbers. So we don't really decide. We just see what the users wants to use and push it. So today, I think the majority of users still choose a centralized exchange because it's much easier to deal with an email and password and have customer support than saying, look, do your own backup of your private keys. If you lose it, then you're screwed. So, but I do think in the longer future, if we can make the secure backup of seeds easier and usable for everyday users, then I do think that the DEX is going to be the future. So we will continue to invest in the DEX Binance Chain development, and we will also fund multiple external projects. We will invest in other projects. We will help other projects. We'll list other people's coins. So I think in the longer future belongs to DEX. But right now, CEX centralized exchanges are more popular by user numbers. And we just want to provide products that people use.
Got it. Okay, so right now, I actually hear quite a few things that you're being developed, and actually you're also investing in a lot of projects as well. So what's your kind of criteria? What's like, if Binance, you are investing, you have labs that are launched and have launchpad, what are you looking for projects in new projects to invest in?
It's pretty much I think our philosophy is we don't look for quick returns, but we look for people who are building the industry. So anything that can improve the industry, like infrastructure projects, better blockchains, better wallets, better e-commerce platforms, better gaming platforms, anything that increases adoption. And we typically take a much longer longer view. So we're not really looking for, we don't have a fund that closes in 5 years or 8 years. We have to have a return in 8 years. So we don't have that kind of structure. We are very self-sustained. So for us, the biggest advantage that Binance can get is when the industry gets bigger. Mm-hmm. So I think today, I've said this a few times, today, like probably only 0.1% of the people in the world has crypto. So we're really one in 1,000 people. If we can increase that to 1%, we will grow. The industry will grow 10x, and Binance will benefit from that. Instead of competing like for market share within that 0.1%, we can increase from 0.01% to 0.012. That doesn't make any difference. Whereas if the industry goes from 0.1% to 1% or to 10%, we would increase 100-fold. So that's our goal, that's our focus, which is to grow the industry. So we invest we invest in a lot of like sort of moonshots that we think could potentially sort of grow the industry. So we take a much, much higher risk, much longer term approach to investing.
Nice. So you're also talking about growing, right? So we have actually quite a very small percentage of people who really do come into crypto. You said 0.1%. What do you think would be the easiest low-hanging fruit to get more and more people into crypto? Just get that 1%, 10%. What would you think is the easiest way to get people there?
It's really that's the billion-dollar question. So, until it happens, it's really hard to predict. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, if in 2016, if you ask me if you ask me that question, I would not have said ICOs. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, if you ask me that question, I would not have said DeFi or stablecoin trading. Like, dude, come on, stablecoin trading, give me a break. It's stablecoin, right?
But people look it.
Yeah, but stablecoin trading is maybe the trigger of this bull run, right? So, so there's some really unexpected things. It could be gaming, it could be e-commerce, it could be a bunch of things. So I'm not very good at predicting the future or seeing like something that other people don't see. What I want our team to do well is being reacting quickly. So when it's already, there's already a little trend, we want to react quickly and then catch on to the trend and help grow that trend. So it's not so much about predicting, but sort of realizing once it's happening.
Oh, that's such a very interesting thought. So you're taking, you're very, very observant. So keep your ears close to the ground. And if you hear that rumble, you just spring on board and jump onto it. That's very interesting. So recently I saw you listing Sandbox on your IEO platform. What do you think of this whole gaming idea?
So, I mean, gaming is a really obvious use case for crypto. I mean, number one is the user demographic overlaps very significantly. They're all young males, typically. And the demographic is internationally dispersed. The same game are usually played by guys all around the world. So it's very expensive to establish multiple payment channels around the different world, around different parts of the world, distribution, all of those things. I think those things are big cost for the game developers. Whereas today you can release the game and just let people pay in crypto. On top of that, there is also in-game assets. So you can most games have points, virtual or other assets. That's primed for blockchain tokens, right? So so I think that's a huge market. I'm just surprised that no one has really, that hasn't happened. But I think all it takes is one game to make it happen.
Yeah.
So all it takes is one popular game to make it happen. And I think those gamers will learn quickly. Those gamers were like, okay, this is how you install a wallet and this is how you transfer funds and boom, boom, it's two clicks. It's so much easier than transferring using your Visa credit card, all this other stuff and buying virtual assets on eBay. So all of this, I think that's a prime market for crypto that just haven't happened yet. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but as I said before, we're going to take multiple steps in various different areas and see which one sticks.
I totally think so too. I think it's one thing I've been looking at very closely for the longest period of time. And I came from a big gaming background, so I knew. But I think the biggest challenge would be gameplay design. I was actually watching a lot of videos yesterday, and the core idea is that if trading becomes your core gameplay, then you actually have to design a game around that core. So hopefully it goes on, and hopefully everything goes well on that sense. You talked a little bit about NFTs. There are people asking about the Binance NFTs. Do you consider to increase or do something more of the Binance NFTs?
So far the NFTs are really more for fun and more for collections, not so much for active trading. So I do think in the future there the NFTs will become more and more valuable as time goes on. The NFTs we issue are really more as a collectibles, whereas in-game NFTs are a different breed. So they may be different treasures, different things. They will have high exchange value. So I think right now the NFT trading still, or the NFTs, given that each one is unique, the trading volume is not going to be that high anyway. So I think those things probably more fitted for auction type of trading instead of like the Binance order book high frequency trading.
So, you know, the cards, right? They can't be traded that quickly anyways, right?
yeah. So I think it's a different kind of marketplace, but I do think there's a big market for it in the future. But right now it's still early days. I would imagine gaming or something else have to take off for that, for NFTs to be very actively traded.
Awesome. I think so too. I think if you have anything cool ideas, I'm sure CZ would look into some cool ideas for Binance NFTs. So obviously this is a live video, and I think I really respect CZ for allowing this to be live, and we're going to answer some live questions over time. So as we progress, I'm going to show you guys, if you guys have any questions to ask CZ, I'll try to look them up as fast as possible. I saw a few questions about let me just make sure this, make sure I got this right. So SXP, Swipe, a lot of people are talking about Swipe. What's your take on that so far?
Swipe is the main provider for the Binance card. So we partnered with them to offer the Binance card. We did a merge with them. The team's very strong. The product was already out even before they merge. So they offer a fairly good solution for people spending crypto. So I think that's a very strategic part in this in allowing people to spend crypto directly. it actually eliminates the need for people to think about selling crypto into a stable coin, transfer the stable coin to somewhere, convert it into cash, convert it into fiat, and transfer it into a bank account to pay for credit card. So they don't have to think about that anymore. They just look, they keep all of their assets or most of their assets in crypto, and they just swipe a card. Mm. And that's it. So I think that having that kind of off-ramp actually allows people to stay 100% in crypto. So so I think for me, like now I use it all the time. It's great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So now I like before I still have to worry about like there's some like, when I buy stuff on Amazon, they don't accept crypto yet.
Got it.
So now I can just use a card. So in terms of like the token itself, I think the prices have been going up quite quickly in the last little while. I'm not a very good, I don't really have an opinion on it. It's market-driven pricing. So yeah. But
do you actually, on trading, do you actually do technical analysis? I actually asked this as well a few times to other people, but do you do TA? Do you look at that?
No, this is something that if I say, you may offend some of our users, but I'm actually I don't really know how to do technical analysis. I can probably recognize like five patterns at most. Like I can probably recognize support, resistance, head and shoulders, and that's probably about it.
Got it.
So all this other fancy stuff, like, look, I'm a guy who builds exchange systems. I'm the blacksmith that builds, that makes swords. I'm not a kung fu master that knows how to trade. So that's a very big misconception people have with me. They think I'm a good trader. I'm not. Like, and I will never try to be.
Got it. There was actually a question from Sabin Pocaro who says, when the Binance card outside of European Union zone, so are you having plans for other regions?
Yes, I think the team is basically they're going to roll out region by region. So there is a I understand that there's multiple approval processes involved, etc. So they have to roll up country by country. They're also working with multiple card acquirers in different regions. So different regions may be partner with different card acquirers. So there's a process there. But the workflow is working. The technology is working. It's just a matter of time now.
Got it. So it's all about, like, it feels like it's almost about regulation now rather than about kind of the technology behind it. Right now, the tech is ready. It's just making sure that all the regulators are on board.
Yeah, I mean, but to be honest, most people who are swiping cards, they're spending like, I don't know, $50, $100. So it's not like they're transferring like $1 million. So the amount of scrutiny on those, they may be fraud. People like claiming chargebacks, etc. So other than that, my understanding is as long as we do proper KYC AML, it's a pretty standard process. There's nothing tricky about it.
Got it. All right. And we have a good question about Bitcoin Lightning Node. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people excited for Bitcoin and using Bitcoin directly. Is Binance running? So this is from Provoltus. Is Binance running your own Bitcoin Lightning Node, or what's your view on that?
Okay. So personally, I'm very supportive of Lightning Nodes, also most of the second layer solutions. Mm-hmm. Binance.com is not running a Lightning Node. To be honest, we have some more work to do even before that. We need to support SegWit, which is actually a large project for us. So we're a little bit behind on that.
You still haven't got SegWit yet? Oh no! Why is that a large project for you guys though? Why is that hard?
So if you just use the default Bitcoin wallet, if you have more than 10,000 addresses, the wallet's gonna die. So that the wallet doesn't work. If you have 100,000 addresses in the wallet, like you'll take forever to send one transaction, and all the transactions will be stuck. So the Bitcoin wallet itself is not very high performance, just generating addresses take time. So so we built a lot of infrastructure to just sort of deal with the Bitcoin large number of addresses, tens of millions of addresses, and sometimes many users request more than one address. So there's a lot of infrastructure built around that with security in place, and changing that just takes time. So it's not as simple as, okay, download the new version of the wallet and reinstall it. For us, we have to rewrite most of the sort of exchange wallet, which is there's a lot of custom written code. So replacing that in a secure and no downtime manner is just a lot of work. It's just tricky. So we need to get to that first. this is the problem. Once you have a large infrastructure running, you have legacy that you have to deal with. So it is one of those things. We are working on it.
I'm sure you got a lot of pressure from it, but I guess it is the legacy part of it. People don't understand, all right, you have to migrate all that, you have to make sure it's all perfect, you have to make sure it's like good to go, and that's the key point behind it, right? So yes. Mm-hmm. Go on.
Yeah, at the same time, we're listing new coins, right? So we have a limited development team of a certain size. There's new wallets we need to integrate. There's old wallets we need to maintain. There's mainnet switches, upgrades that happen all the time. All of those things come in. So it's not as easy as just downloading a software and upgrading it.
Got it. All right, so we have a few more questions about new coin listings. I have a few. Do you want to hear a list of what people are demanding? I guess we'll get that out of the way. I think I'm trying to view all this. So we have DOS, we have Player, we have, XRP. We got XRP already, right? Let's see what else. Guys, say whatever coin you want to ask, so we'll get this out of the way first, all right? So I'll read out a giant list and we'll ask CZ what he thinks about everything. And we have, let's do that then. So I'll just get everyone to just get that energy out of the way. But I guess we kind of answered this question already. I mean, technically you have a listing process and technically that's not even with you, right?
Yeah, so looking at projects and understanding which token is good or not takes a lot of time, and you have to follow them over time. So I don't do it. So honestly, I don't recognize most of the coins, even on Binance. Like sometimes they ask me, hey, this coin, I'm like, which coin is this? So most people think I know every coin. That's really far from the truth. I only know a few coins.
Got it. Well, we just had, I think, 20 comments all at once. So we got Ampleforth, we got Shop, we got AR, we got Cell, we got Arweave, we got Matrix AI, we got XRE, we got Dio, we got all this. I guess that's a list for you guys to look at. Any ideas on these?
Sure. No, I can't comment on any specific ones, but I guess it goes to show that there's still very strong demand for centralized exchanges, even in the DeFi space. So I think the centralized exchanges will help the DeFi projects to grow as well. So we're happy to support it.
Got it. And I got comments like Link, Trust Swap, Terra, Ocean. I'll just say this, Orion next, so everyone's happy. So we make everyone's happy. I guess that is the truth, right? Now there's a need for centralized exchanges, especially right now with gas prices going up to past 100 Gwei. I'm not sure if you used Uniswap recently. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, it costs like anywhere between $1 to $7 to transfer on Ethereum now. So
it is true. So okay, let's switch a topic as well. I saw a question earlier about STO, security token offerings. This was the biggest hype in 2017, 2018, 2019. Where do you think it's gonna go?
So to be honest, even in 2018 and 19, I was a little bit skeptical of STOs. Mm. I think the technology is really simple. The concept is also very simple, but it steps too closely to the heavily regulated space. So bring a lot of those regulations onto crypto is going to be a very challenging and difficult process. So I think people should go for it. And I encourage people to try and push that forward. But mostly, I would encourage most people pushing it should be coming from lawyer backgrounds, not even technical backgrounds. I think the tech focused entrepreneurs are much better spending their time on DeFi. So because that's more technology driven. So I think STOs eventually will get there, but it's going to be a slower process, not because of technology, but because of the regulatory changes take time, especially in larger countries where this makes more sense. There's a lot more regulatory bodies. There's a lot more agencies involved. Those are just like large bodies that can't move that fast. Mm-hmm. So I am skeptical about STOs taking off anytime soon, to be honest. And there's a lot of questions like, how does STO work? Can you transfer that token on the blockchain without restrictions? Would that be? And if the STO has a wide list of addresses, then that kind of defeats the purpose. I'm still a little bit skeptical about it, but eventually we'll get there. But I think it's going to take a few years.
Got it. I think so too. I think it's all about regulation. And even currently, people are quite afraid of regulation for crypto as well. Do you think that's a big problem in the future as well, where regulation comes in?
Yes, I think I think we need to play well with regulation. So we don't want to offend. We don't want to completely we don't want to fall outside of the regulatory guidelines. So we don't want to cause trouble. At the same time, I think the regulation is going to have a hard time dealing with crypto in just by default. Now there are DEXs, automated market makers that just run on a smart contract. How do you do KYC and AML on those guys? How do you apply traditional policies on DEX? So those are some really interesting challenges that I don't think anyone has an answer. So I think it's important that both the industry players and the regulatory bodies keep an open mind and find ways to work more collaboratively together. But I do think there's a general tendency for most regulators to just use existing regulations and apply them to crypto and making crypto a traditional asset. I think that approach is probably not going to work. On the flip side, there's a lot of crypto guys who just says, "Well, no regulation, let's just go crazy." That's also not so good. So right. I think we have to find some medium in there somewhere. Exactly how that's going to work, I'm not too sure. But I think the next challenge is going to be all this DeFi is coming up, all this decentralized exchanges, all this automatic market makers, all the swap pools. They just run on a smart contract. Those guys don't have KYC, they don't have AML. So it's going to be interesting how those things are going to be regulated or not. So I think that's a pretty interesting question to see developing over the next few years.
Interesting. And I think you've been looking a lot into automated market making. Would you actually be adding AMMs into Binance where people would be able to add liquidity to certain pairs? Would that be interesting?
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. So, well, there, guys, that would be very interesting because I feel like all of a sudden people are like outsourcing their market making. I think that's such a interesting trend. Like people are so willing to do that. I mean, I don't think people would have imagined it last 2 years ago. People would outsource your market making, but I guess, you know.
Yeah, the current sort of X times Y equals a constant automatic market making works well for stable coins because they, in theory, their values do not diverge over time. Mm-hmm. So whereas with other coins, it may not work too well. So I think we should learn from that and try to apply it to the centralized exchange and also to our decentralized exchange. So we should learn from the industry and copy what we can.
Got it. And I think we're nearing the last few questions. We've already had CZ for around 40 minutes now. I have one question about USDT. So this was actually asked quite a bit before. There's a lot of new USDT being minted. Is that a worry for the community? Because obviously, I mean, people are always worried about centralized entities keeping USD.
So I don't know USDT that well, meaning that I don't know what's happening behind the scenes in terms of their bank accounts, custody, et cetera. I don't know how they manage it. So I have the same information as everybody else. I don't have any special information that other people don't know about. My feeling or my view is that it is risky to have one stable coin being really, really big. If something happens to that bank account, to that custody, then it will have a negative impact. This is a case of over-centralization is generally not so good. So it is a good, it will be beneficial for the industry to sort of diverse into multiple stable coins. There are a lot of other choices, but USDT does have the network effect being the first one. They're used more everywhere. They're used for Binance futures, et cetera. So, but over time, I do think as an industry, we should provide more choices. We provide BUSD, which is a fully regulated, fully audited stablecoin reserves. We actually don't manage it. Our partner Paxos manage it. We just white label it Binance just for the name. We actually don't really do much management of it. So we want to provide more choices so that we diversify the risk and not overly rely on one party or one bank account or one centralized entity. So, how much risk there is, I can't really tell because I don't know. But not knowing is a risk. Not knowing it means that there's a lack of transparency somewhere. But it does not necessarily mean it's bad or good. But I would encourage other people to use the more transparent, more regulated stable coins. Stable coins are tied with fiat, so it's actually better for them to be regulated.
Got it. So what about, like, say, the DAI? You recently listed that. Do you think that this will be the future for crypto-based stablecoin rather than a USD-based stablecoin?
I think the future is possible. Anything's possible in the future. So I think DAI has a very, really innovative approach to issue stablecoins. And I think more and more people will copy, and there's more innovations on top of that. Mm-hmm. So we want to support it and see where it goes.
Got it. And I think there was a question from Nemesis, says, Akbox Mining, will CZ delist ETC, Ethereum Classic, underwent a few attacks? Is that something?
Yeah, so... ETC did go through a few 51% attacks and a few blockchain reorgs. I actually think, this kind of things do happen in blockchains, and we should be prepared to deal with this kind of attacks. Whether to delist it or not is a separate decision. I think we did suffer some losses due to those reorgs, because we created people's accounts and then those transactions got reorged out. So we did suffer some losses there. But whether it's sufficient for delisting, I'm not so sure. ETC still do have a very large user base. So again, we go by number of users. It's been there for a very long time. It's the original Ethereum. But what's interesting is philosophically, ETC exists because they didn't agree with the Vitalik fork of ETH. Now they may have to refork it to fight off this attack. So there's a little bit of a philosophical issue there, but it's not our issue. So our opinion doesn't count. We're just here to provide liquidity. So again.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? That's the thing with ETC right now.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. So we're nearing the last few questions, guys. Thank you so much. We have a few requests for TrustSwap to be listed on Binance. I hope, CZ, you can look at TrustSwap. There's a huge community there. I'm one of the advisors for it. But yeah, please do take a look at it and see a lot of this DeFi stuff going on. Last one here. Let's say, okay, so we have a few more comments. Let's wrap it up. I actually want to wrap it up with Ethereum 2.0. I've been researching a lot about Ethereum 2.0 and staking. What's your view? Are you guys also participating in Ethereum 2.0, the Beacon Chain, or waiting on that?
Look, if Ethereum 2.0 comes out, or when it comes out, we are more than likely to support it. It's one of the most major projects in this space, and I think we're generally supportive of all options in this space. So I actually have not researched that much about Ethereum 2.0, but I keep hearing about it. Mm-hmm. I understand it's just a large project. It's just a large undertaking, which will take time. So, but Vitalik has a history of delivering really hard to chew big projects. So hopefully sooner or later he'll deliver it, or they will deliver it. And when they do, I think we will. For Binance, I don't see any possibility for us not supporting it.
That's a very strong comment. All right, last thing. So what's next for CZ? So what are you looking forward to the most right now?
I'm actually not that anxious looking for something new. I view myself as being in a very lucky position doing what I really enjoy doing, which is, in my view, which is promoting the freedom of money. So I think there's not a lot of other choices or ideas or opportunities that can be more meaningful to me personally. So for me, I wake up, I feel energized. I don't feel stressed. I'm not tired. I don't feel like I'm working. I just feel like this is what I want to do. So, and when I'm tired, I rest. When I'm sleepy, I sleep. So I'm not stressed out. So, I thought about various different things I could do, but nothing's more interesting than what I'm doing already. So I think I'm in a very fortunate position. Right now, I just want the team to be more independent. So I want all the Binance teams to be more independent of me. And so this way the Binance organization can run without me interfering. Without me getting required. So I think that's the next step I want Binance to achieve. And I will always spend 100% of my time contributing to whatever I can, but I want those to be optional. I want I want to be able to contribute, but I don't want Binance to depend on me. So that's kind of the next challenge for Binance and myself, for Binance as an organization, and for myself as a person.
Got it. I think that's a very, very strong comment. I think that's when you take the next level and just, you know, be the visionary, be a full leader. And I'm glad to see that you got a lot more rest and this is looking really great. So I think I'm going to wrap up this video. Guys, thank you so much for the comments. I'm really glad that CZ took every single question. That was really great. And I hope to have you on board. If you guys want to find CZ, I'm sure you can find him on Twitter. He has one of the biggest followings. And I don't know how you like tweet more than I do, but I fully respect that and have that transparency going forward. Are there any platforms you want people to check out right now? Any thing you want people to check out?
Not really. I think most people probably follow Binance in some way, and then we'll continue to build products hopefully people like.
Nice. Awesome. So guys, thank you guys so much for watching this video. Thank you, CZ, so much for coming on, and we'll see you guys next time.